Now we're holding on Zayin Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of people who kill b'shogeg, suppose that the now the pasuk when it in one of the places where the pasuk talks about a person killed b'shogeg, it describes the scenario as we learned the pasuk yesterday that asher yover asher ehu b'yar lachta v'etzim, that two people go in the forest to chop wood. And the nidcha yodeh bagarzen, and his hand slips with the axe, and he kills the other person. So what is the scenario? So that's the Mishnah, and the Gemara are going to deal with over here what the scenario is, what happened, that the other person got killed. So nishmat habarzen mikatoi, if the axe head got dislodged from its handle, so it fell off the handle, and then it flew off the horag, and it flew off and killed the other guy. Rebbe says, and that's not what the pasuk is referring to, that he would go into Golus, and in that case, he wouldn't go to the Orei Michlot. Rebbe learns, as we're going to go on in the Mishnah, to say that he learns that the pasuk is referring to a different case. And actually, the idea is, according to that, the Rabbi Nachmanel puts it that in that case, Rebbe would call that korav lemezid. What do you mean? You're going to be chopping wood. Check to begin with that your axe head is firmly attached to your axe handle. So Rebbe Emer Negel v'Cham Lemem Gola, and the Cham would say that he does go into Golus. What about mina eitzah misvakea? What about the other way around? If a piece of wood that he was chopping flew off and killed somebody else, Rebbe Amagola, then it's the other way around. Rebbe says that is what the pasuk is referring to, that then he would go into Golus, v'cham amagola, and the Cham say he would not go into Golus. Rashi actually brings two possibilities. What we mean, so Rashi says that a piece of wood flew off, and killed somebody. Rebbe says that Rebbe Chanan also brings up another possibility, that it means that because of the blow, the Rebbe Chanan brings another explanation that we're talking about, that one is the axe head flew off before he hit, and then it's cut of lemezid, and the other one we'll be talking about where he hit and then the axe head flew off. Min ha'etza misvakeya, meaning in other words that it fell off because of the wood that he was chopping. So because of the force of the blow, that caused the axe head to fly off and kill somebody. Rebbe Chanan learns that way. So Rebbe says in that case that would be what the pasuk is referring to, and in that case he goes into Golus, and according to the Chum say in a Gola, the Chum say does not go into Golus, because as we're going to see in the Gemara, it's called an indirect koyach, and in that case, and then we're going to learn, and the Gemara is going to say the Chum hold only with a direct koyach, only with something directly as a result of his actions, is he going to Golos, not where one thing caused another, which caused the death. So the Gemara says Tana, Omar Lahem Rebbe Lachachamim, Rebbe says to the Chum, V'chinem of a Noshala. Now the expression in the pasuk is that they go together in the forest to chop wood, V'nidcha Yodeh Bagazin, his hand slips on the axe, and the expression in the pasuk is V'noshal HaBarzo Min Ha'etz. That's what we're going to see in the Gemara. V'noshal means it falls off, or it flies off, or whatever, min ha'etz, from the wood. Now, so Tanya, Omar Lahem Rebbe Lachachamim, V'chinem v'noshal abarzo me'etz soy, does the pasuk say that the iron comes off of its wood, which then would mean off its wooden handle, which then that would mean what you're saying, that when the axe head flies off the handle, then that's what the pasuk is referring to. V'alo le'nema, elam min ha'etz. The pasuk says from the wood, which therefore would mean that the axe head dislodges a piece of wood, or like Rabbi Hanano's other possibility, that the wood causes the axe head to be dislodged, the wood that you're chopping, though, not the wooden handle that the blade was attached to. Therefore, Rebbe says, it has to be, like I'm saying, that not the case where the axe head comes off the handle, that he'd be chayev to go into Golos, but rather a different case, rather where a piece of wood flies off, or where the wood causes the axe handle to fly off. That's Rebbe's first argument. V'oid, furthermore, Rebbe says, I have another proof. Nema eich flamata, v'nema eich flamayla. Twice in the Pasuk it mentions eight. The Pasuk starts off by saying, Vasha Yova Yisrael Bayar Lachtiv Eitzim. Actually three times in the Pasuk it says the word eight. Vasha Yova Yisrael Bayar Lachtiv Eitzim. A person comes with somebody else into the forest to chop wood. V'nicha Yod V'gazan Lichwes Eitz. And his hand slips on the axe when he's cutting the wood. V'noshal Abazom in a eight. And the iron axe head comes off the wood. So now, so it mentions lichros ha'etz, to chop the wood, and then it says v'nafal abazom on ha'etz, that the wood, that the iron comes off the wood. So Rebbe says, since it says eitz twice, ma eitz ha'omel ha'maylam in ha'etz ha'mispakeya. Now when it talks about lichros eitz, I mean, we're not chopping the axe handle, obviously, you're chopping a tree or some other piece of wood, af eitz ha'omel ha'mata min ha'etz ha'mispakeya. The same way, it has to be that the v'nafal abazom on ha'etz, says Rebbe, also refers to the wood that you're chopping, not the wood that the handle was attached, not the wood that the blade was attached to. So those are Rebbe's two proofs that for what he's saying in the Mishnah, that we're not talking about where the axe head flies off, but rather we're talking about where a piece of wood of what he was chopping flies off, or according to the Ben Hananel, and also the Rambam learns that way, that it means that the axe head did fly off, but it's not because it came loose from the, it's not just because while he was swinging it came loose from the handle, but rather because the force of the blow on the wood caused it to fly off. Okay. So those are Rebbe's proofs for his opinions. Really, actually, both Rebbe and the Chachamim are learning their svaris from the same pasuk. Rebbe Savar, now like this, we learned at the beginning of Sanhedrin, there's a machlokas in many places in Shas, whether yesh em la mikro, yesh em la masoris. Yesh emla mikra would mean that we go according to how the word is actually read in the pasuk. So the pasuk says v'noshal, which means that it falls off. On the other hand, you have yesh emla masurdas, which means that we have to consider the masurda of how it was given to us to read, how it was given to us to write the word in the pasuk. So the Gemara mentions elsewhere that we have a machloikas. Actually, the Gemara is going to mention over here as well that you have several different tanoim who argue on this point. Yesh emu mikro, yesh emu masoras. There's a tshuva from the Rif that discusses why in this case do we use the word aim, and then on the other hand, when we're talking about binyan av, for example, then we're talking about then we use the word av, a father. So why are we here? Do we use the word aim? And basically he answers something along the lines of that there you're learning from it to something else. The point of a binyan av is you have a statement in one place or in two places in the Torah, and you're learning from it to other similar cases. So therefore it's like we analogize it to a father. Here we're not talking about to learn from it to other cases. We're just talking about whether which one is more important, the mikro or the masodas. Therefore instead we use the word aim. So we have to look at how it's written in the Torah, in the Sefer Torah, without Nekudas, Vav Nun Shin Lamed, which can also be read, the Nishal. We can also read it then as though there was a Chirik under the Nun, or the way we actually are told to read it, which is called Yesh El Mikra, is the Noshal. So they're arguing which one of those is more important. Rebbe Sava Yesh Em Masurdas. Rebbe says that we have to go, that the more important thing is the Masurdas, the mother, the more important thing between the two of them is the Masurdas, and then the Nishal Ksiv, and then after all, the Torah writes it, Vav Nun Shin Lamed, which can be read as if it said the Nishal, with a Chirik under the Nun. So therefore, v'nishal means that it causes it to fly off. So not that the axe handle itself, not that the axe head itself fell off, but that the axe head caused something else to fall off. V'rabbanan sabri yesh in the mikra, whereas the chum say we go according to the mikra, according to how we actually read it, v'noshal karinin. And the fact is, we read it v'noshal, we have a comet under the nun, and that means v'noshal, it falls off, and therefore it refers to the axe head itself the axe head itself falling and flying off. So Tosfos explains that basically what Rebbe is telling, the Chachamim is that I am learning from Yesh Ein L'Masodas, but in addition also, if it said V'Noshal Abarzal Me'Eitzay, then you would have no choice but to read V'Noshal, but because it says Min Ha'Eitz, then therefore that makes it more logical to read as if it said V'Nishal. So that's the machlokas therefore. So the Gemara says, "Rebbe Yesh Ein L'Masodas Svirlei." You're telling me that Rebbe holds Yesh Ein L'Masodas, that we go more primarily according to how the word is written in the Sefer Torah, which can be read with different nekudas. But don't we find that Rebbe Yitzchok by Yosef said in the name of Rebbe Yechanan that Rebbe, v'Reb Yehuda ben Royas, with Shammai, v'Reb Shimon, v'Reb Akiva, kulo svir lehu yesh em l'mikra. These five Tanoim all hold yesh em l'mikra, and he goes through, in the Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin, he goes through where we find examples with each one of them, where they go according to the way the word is written in the Torah, and not, according to the way the word is pronounced, rather, and not the way it's written. So therefore, that would result in, since we actually read it v'noshal, then that would mean it falls off. So Rebbe would have to say that it means that it falls off, not that it causes something else to fall off. So what are you telling me over here, that Rebbe is learning Yesh Ein L'Masodas? And the Gemara says, you're right, Hainu Dekama Lehuva Oid. This is why Rebbe is also giving another explanation as well, that he's saying that he's learning from Gzeira Shava as well, that he's learning from the word eight, that says twice in the Pasuk, that just like the first one, Lichris Ha'eitz, means the wood or the tree that he's trying to chop, the same way over here, V'Noshal Abarzal Min Ha'eitz, means the wood that he's chopping, and not the wooden handle to which the axe head is attached. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, by the way, wrote a pirush of his own on various parts of Tanakh, which is actually quite interesting. So he was a chaver or talmid of Rashi. Anyway, so Tosfos explains that's what Rebbe is saying, that if it said v'noshal abarzal me'eitz, so then you have no choice but to say that it means v'noshal. But because it says min ha'eitz, then therefore, so now when it, if it says v'noshal, then it doesn't really fit. V'noshal abarzal, the axe head comes off min ha'eitz from the wood, and you're saying that the wood means the wood that you're chopping. So therefore, it would have to be, therefore we have to understand that the word v'noshal really means v'nishal. So that's the v'oid over here. Now he's saying, in addition, in other words, Rebbe is saying, not that I have three arguments, I have really two. One is because it doesn't say v'noshal abarz on the eight, so that forces us to read v'noshal as if it said v'nishal. And number two, we can compare the word eight that it says in different places in the pasuk. So those are Rebbe's arguments over here. The Ritva also adds that it's true, generally Rebbe holds Yesh in the Mikra, but over here he's saying that again, because it doesn't say V'noshal Abarzal, is basically what Tosfos says. So the Gemara brings Omer Papa. So that's according to Rebbe, the Chum say, that's all very nice, but the fact is, the Pasuk does say V'noshal, and therefore that he's chayev when the axe head itself flies off, and it's not Korov Amazed like Rebbe had said. So the Gemara...
What's the difference in grammar between Noshal and Nishal? What's the meaning?
Noshal means it falls off. Nishal means it causes to fall off. So noshal would be that the axe head itself comes off. The nishal means that the axe head itself, that the axe head causes something else to come off, namely a piece of wood that flies off and kills the other person. Or according to Rabbi Hananel and the Rambam, what it means is the nishal means that the axe head because of something else, the axe head flies off, namely because of the force of the blow of hitting the wood that causes the axe head to fall off and fly off.
So in a way, they're both very similar. I mean, we say nashal, the axe head flies away, And Mishael, the axe head also flies away.
Well, according to Ben Hananel, yes. But according to Ben Hananel and the Rambam, yes. But the difference is that the Nishal means that the axe head flew away, not just because it was loose and came off the handle, but rather because of the force of the blow. As opposed mm-hmm. to, according to Rashi, Venishal, the case of Venishal, you're not talking about the axe head, you're talking about a piece of wood that the axe head hit, which then flew off and hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara goes on, Omer Papa, Manda shot a piece of ladikla. If a person throws a clod of dirt at a palm tree, the Atar Tamri, and he causes dates to fall off the tree, but also Tamri the Kotel, and those dates went and killed some and fell on somebody and killed him. Bonon the Machlokas of Rebbe even Abanon. Then we've come to the Machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, where because there what you have is it's similar to our Mishnah. The same way as in our Mishnah, you're talking about that you have the case where the axe head itself flew off versus you have the second case of the Mishnah where the axe head caused something else to fly off. So the same way over here, it's not the clod of dirt that killed the other person, it's what the clod of dirt dislodged the dates that fell on the other person. So it's called Koyach Koychoi. So Bonon Machlokas, Rebbe V'Rabbonon. So we've come to the Machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether he's going to be Chayav Golos or not. Whether it has to be koichoi or koyach koichoi. So the Gemara says pshita, isn't that obvious? Why does Rapop have to tell us that? And the answer is ma'u detema, exactly that. Now you would think koyach koichoi, dummy. Maybe even according to Rebbe, you'd call it koyach koichoi because throwing the piece of dirt throwing the clod of dirt is koichoi, and then the dates that fall off are koyach koichoi. So in other words, it's one thing in our Mishnah, you're talking about he was chopping with the axe, and the axe hit the wood, and directly a piece of wood flew off. So he still has the axe in his hand. But here, for example, he threw the clod of dirt. It was out of his hand completely by the time it hit the dates and caused them to fall. So maybe that kind of thing should be considered koyach koychoi, and even Rebbe should agree that he's potter from golos. So you would think that maybe in fact he should be potter, even according to Rebbe. Kamash Malandra, Papa wants us to know that not so. It's still considered, Rebbe would still consider that the clod of dirt is considered gufo. It's not considered koichoi because he threw it out of his hand and inevitably it was going to go in that direction. So Rebbe does not require that he's holding on to the axe like an on Mishnah. It's enough that he did something that it's going to be directly because of koichai, it's going to go over there. When he throws it with a certain force and in a certain direction, it's going to go in that direction and it's going to hit the palm tree and cause the fruit to be dislodged. So the Gemara says, Ela koyach koyche, the Rebbe heichim ashkachas la. Well, then according to Rebbe, what would be a case of koyach koyche where he would actually be potter? And the answer is you're going to shut a pisa because you could have a case. Let's say he threw a piece of dirt, umachila garma, and it hit the wood of the tree. It hit the piece of wood. Rashi describes this is the part of the tree where the dates are attached to. The dates grow on a branch, which in turn is attached to the tree. So he threw the dirt, it hit the branch, and then a piece of that wood fell off and hit the place where you have the cluster of dates, and then it caused dates to fall off, and then the dates went and killed. So now even Rebbe would call that koyach koychoi, because what it hit at first was not koychoi, that was considered his goof. But then you have the first koyach that caused the piece of wood to fall, the second koyach that caused that in turn to hit the dates, and then the dates fall on the person and kill them. So that's already koyach koychoi, and Rebbe would call that's potter.
You simply find at least two steps or three steps or one step.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Basically, how many steps are there? This comes up in other areas of halacha as well. When we talk about, for example, you have for example Shabbos elevators and things like that, where where there's something being done, but it's being done with some kind of, it's being done with some kind of delay, or it's being done something more indirectly. So there you have, very often those rely on this principle of koyach koychoi, where you have, now you're not doing it directly, you're causing something, which may or may not cause something else, and that way it's not considered, that way it's not considered a full-fledged malacha.
So in the first case it is direct enough.
In the second case it's not direct enough, and therefore even Rebbe would say that he's a, and then therefore even Rebbe would say that he's potter in that case. The Mishnah says, Hazurdik Evan Lashusarabim, if a person throws a stone into the Shusarabim, Bahorag, and he killed Hareza Gola, then he goes to the Orin Bichlot. Now the Gemara is gonna ask, wait a minute, what's he doing throwing stones into the Shusarabim in the first place? Isn't that Kotel Lamezid? So we'll deal with that in the Gemara. Rebbe Lezman Yaakov says, yes, but if after the stone left his hand, the other person put his head out the window, for example, the kibla, and he got the stone in his head, and then he was killed, then the one who threw the stone is potter. So in other words, this person was not in the direct line of fire when the first person threw the stone. His head came there only afterwards. Therefore, Rebbe Lezman and Yaakov are saying that he's potter for reasons that we're going to learn in the Gemara. Next, Zorak as Evan Lahatsere Bahorag, if he threw the stone into his own chaser and he killed, then it depends. Im yesh v'shuslam nizak likonis l'sham, if the nizak has permission to come in there, goyla, then the one who threw the stone is going to go into golos. V'im lav, and if not, ain't a goyla, then he doesn't go into golos, because then, since the other person had no right to be there, since, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, since we're compared, again, the Pasuk had mentioned the case of a forest, and as we learned yesterday, we're talking about the forest, both of them have permission to be in, because it's Hefter, so the same way it has to be in order for the killing b'shoigig to be considered something that he goes to the Orin Miklat for, then it has to be that both of them have the reshus to be there. There's a relevant Gemara about this in Bava Kamma, where when we're talking about the Nizak has Rishus to go in, means, for example, that he gave him Rishus to go in, so shouldn't he realize that the person is there? Wouldn't it also be Shogig Kotev L'Mezid? How are we calling it that because the person has permission to be there, then therefore we call it a Shogig and he goes to the Orem Miklat? Shouldn't it be like Rishus Arabim? The Gemara is going to say that if he just throws stones into Rishus Arabim, then it's called Shogig Kotev L'Mezid. Only in a particular case that the Gemara is going to say, is there a unique case where he throws into Rosh Hashanah and still it's considered a pure Shogig. So why over here, if he knows the other person is able to come into his Rishus, shouldn't he be more careful? Why are we saying that if the other person had permission to be there, then he's chayav golos. But why should he be chayav golos? He should be in danger always from the goyel adam, because he can't go to the Orem Miklat because it's shogeg kotev l'mezid. So the Ramban discusses that there's a difference where the person, for example, knocked on the door, and the case in Bava Kamma over there was the carpenter told him, come in. So then in that case, the carpenter should realize that right now there's somebody in the store. As opposed to over here, we're talking about that he got general permission, he can go into the chosr any time. So the mazik doesn't know when he's going to come, so therefore that can be considered shogeg. So if the nizak had permission to be there goyla, then it's considered a pure shogeg and he does go into golos. V'im lav ain't a goyla, if not, then he doesn't go into golos because the other person had no business being there. And shenemar, the pasuk says v'asher yovei yesu'ehu bayar, when a person comes with somebody else into the forest. So as we learned yesterday, ma yar yeshu shus l'nizikli v'amazikli konestram, just like with a forest, both the nizak and the mazik have permission to be there because it's hefker. Af kol reshus l'nizik v'amazik. So therefore, as opposed to the chotzer of a balabais, where the nizik and the mazik don't have permission to be there. The nizik, the mazik, of course, can be there, but the mazik can be there. And in fact, Marashot takes out the word a mazik over here. What do you mean? The mazik, of course, the mazik can be there. It's his property. So, but the point is, the nizik has no business being over there, and therefore, it's not like a forest. The, so, um, yeah, The Orachim Ner actually finds a reason to keep the word v'lamazik, and he means, in other words, that we're talking about, he goes into that where he goes in without the shus, then he kills him b'shoyt. So then actually it would be actually the other way around. The Orachim Ner learns. What about now if in this chotzer where the nizak where the other person, the non owner of the chotzer, didn't have permission to be there, and he went in there and accidentally killed the owner of the chotzer. So then it's also not like a yar. So therefore he actually would not go into golos as well. So in other words, the Orach HaNer explains the Mishnah is not only talking about a case where the chotzer belongs to Reuven, and now Shimon came in where he wasn't supposed to, and Reuven accidentally killed him. We're saying Reuven is not going into golos, but even the other way around as well. If Shimon accidentally killed Reuven, Shimon also wouldn't go into golos, because again, it's not like a yar, and therefore that justifies the words l'nizek v'lamazik in the Mishnah, because it means if either one of them killed the other. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Abba Shol Omer. Abba Shol says, here's another din that we can learn from the Pasuk. The fact that it mentions that they went into the forest, lachtov etzim, to chop wood. We can learn from that. It says Abba Shol, macha tovas etzim reshus, just like chopping wood is a reshus. There's no mitzvah to chop wood. This is, by the way, where you have the famous expression of the Rebbeim, even with Stavinu Lachtav Eitzim, that if we were given a mitzvah to chop wood, we would still do that with as much enthusiasm as any other mitzvah. In other words, the point is that Hashem gave us the mitzvahs in order to benefit us, in order to make us better people. But if we had a mitzvah that seemed to be completely useless, such as chopping wood, nonetheless, we would still do it with realizing that in the same way we're still fulfilling the Ratzon Elyon. Anyway, so macha tovas etim reshus, just like chopping wood is a reshus. Af kol reshus, the same way, we learn from that what is the case where a person is chayav golus, is where the action that he was doing, where what he was doing was something which is reshus. Yotza av makas v'noi, therefore excluding a father who's hitting his son in order to be mechanechim, and then he hits him too hard accidentally and kills him, so then he would be potter from golus. V'arav haroides tamidoi, similarly a rav who's giving petch to his Talmud, same idea. Who's shliach beistin, and the same thing with a shliach beistin, where he's giving people malchus, and then he accidentally kills him, in all those cases. Abba Shol says it's not a reshus. In all those cases, he's doing something with a mitzvah. He's doing something which is a mitzvah, and therefore the pasuk is implying that he's potter from golus. What the case is that we're talking about over here, as far as the shliach beistin. So Rashi says the obvious thing. I mean, a shliach beistin who's giving somebody malchus. There is actually a good deal of discussion. What exactly is the scenario over here? Because later on in the Masechta, when we talk all about Malkus, we're going to say that the Beis Din evaluates ahead of time how many Malkus the person is going to be able to get and not be killed. So therefore, so one explanation is that that's exactly the case we're talking about. In other words, Beis Din evaluated, the person is able to get full 39, let's say, and then in the course of the 39 he killed him, so then he's potter from Golos because he was just carrying out what the Beis Din told him to do. As opposed to if he were to give extra malchus beyond what Beis Din says, then he would be chayav golus. On the other hand, there are mafoshim who explain that in that case it's very obvious. Then we don't even need a limud from a posik for it. And the Orach HaNer points out that the Mishnah later on mentions explicitly that if he kills during that time based on the number that Beis Din told him, that he's potter. So then why would it have to repeat it? So the Meiri gives an explanation that we're not talking about where he's giving him malchus. And the Meiri, the Rambam explains, and the Meiri also explains based on this kasha that we're talking about that the shliach Beis Din, for example, is trying to get somebody to come to a summons of Beis Din, and the person is refusing, and the shliach Beis Din hits him and accidentally kills him, then he's potter because he's doing it in the course of carrying out his job, which is to bring the person to Beis Din. And then there are explanations that say that it means that actually the shliach did add more malchus than Beis Din told him to. And it means, in other words, that later on in the mission, later on in the parak, it's talking about where he miscounted, whereas over here it's talking about that he gives extra. In fact, you have the Ravid argues on the Rambam over there in Hilchos Ritzeach and gives a different explanation, but there are in fact different yusois in what the Ravid himself says. The Ravid uses the expression, he says, Shliach Bastian, who gave Yosim Imasham Duhu more than what they evaluated, Yosim Imasham Duhu Bastian more than Bastian evaluated him, and he died. Does the word Yoser belong there or not? If he uses the word Yoser, then it means that he actually gave him more than he was supposed to, or without that word, then it would mean exactly like Rashi says over here, that he gave him exactly what Bastin said. So there are several different explanations what's going on with the Shliach Bastin over here. In any case, Abba Shaul is saying that in that case, if Shliach Bastin, then he would be potter, because again, he's doing a mitzvah, and therefore it's not like Lachta Bastin. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Gemara starts off, the first case of the Mishnah, where you're saying that he threw stones into Rosh Hashanah and he killed somebody, Rosh Hashanah and Mazid, who he would be considered a Mazid. Okay, maybe not a full Mazid, but at least Shogeg Korav LeMazid. How is he going to the Orin Biklot for that? The answer is Omer of Shmuel Beislech was Soser as Koslei. Because you're talking about that he's knocking down a wall, and then somebody's knocking down a wall because he needs to rebuild it or something, and then a stone from it falls into Rosh Hashanah. Like most still says he borrowed a yoni. Still, he needs to be careful. He needs to take a look before he starts knocking down the wall and making sure nobody is passing by. And the answer is v'skoyser is koyser b'alayla. We're talking about where he's knocking it down by night. Now, by night, people are not usually in Rosh Hashanah, so therefore, he has no reason to think that anybody is there. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out, at that point, you don't need to say anymore that it's talking about that he's knocking down a wall. It could already be at this point that he's throwing stones, and Stam's throwing stones, but it's at night, and nobody's in Rosh Hashanabim, nobody's expected to be in Rosh Hashanabim, so therefore it would be considered shogeg. So the Gemara says, why? But Laila Nami Bori Laila Yuni, even by night he should be paying attention and making sure nobody's passing by. And the answer is, Besoiser is Kosla La Ashba, because you're talking about he's knocking down his wall, and he's throwing the stones into a garbage heap. So now this garbage heap, once in a while people go there in order to go to the bathroom, because in the bathrooms in those days people would go wherever they could find someplace convenient, and a garbage heap is a convenient place. So most of the time people are not there, but yeah. So Gemara says, well, hi Ashba Higidomi. Well then what's the scenario? Ish Chichi Barabim, if people are commonly found, if people commonly go to that garbage heap to go to the bathroom, then he's being Pashehu, he's being very careless in throwing stones over there without checking. Ilo Shchichi Barabim, and if Rabim are not, if people are not generally found there, if people don't go there to use it for a bathroom. When we say the word Rabim over here, we don't mean Rabim as in if a Yochid goes over there, then it means it's fine. We just mean, because we use the word Rabim before, then we use the word Rabim over here. If people don't go over there, Onosu, then it's an Onos, because he couldn't have expected anybody is there, and an Onos doesn't go to the Orem Mithlot either. Amar Papa, so the answer is, Papa says, Loit Tzricha, the case you have to be talking about, the Mishnah is only talking about a case, Ela L'Ashbah HaShtuyeli Ponis B'Valayla, this is a garbage heap where people regularly go there to the bathroom by night, V'Ein HaShtuyeli Ponis B'Valayim, people don't usually use it during the day, V'Ikr D'Mikri V'Yosef, but sometimes it can happen even during the daytime that somebody does sit there. So now if he goes and throws the stones there from knocking down his wall, or as Tosfos says, at this point we don't even need to be that he's knocking down a wall. It could be Sami throwing stones. But it's by day. So now, Peshea Lehavi, we can't call him a Peshea, we can't call him Kotov Lamezid Daha Inasuli Panas Baba Yoim, because people don't usually go to the bathroom there by day, so therefore we had no reason to expect that somebody was there. On the other hand, you can't call him an onus either. Dor iku de mikri v'yosiv, because sometimes people do in fact sit over there. So you should have checked. And we're not saying that he should have checked, but nevertheless, the point is that it's still considered a shogeg. The Orach HaNer actually points out that the Rambam seems to disagree with Tosfos on the point about whether it has to be that he's knocking down a wall. The Rambam still mentions only as far as knocking down a wall. So if he were to throw Stam, a stone, even She'en Asui Liponis, then it would even She'en Asui Liponis Bayoim, something that where people don't go to the bathroom by day, nevertheless the Orach HaNer learns in the Rambam that he would still consider it careless. What are you doing? Throwing stones over there where you have no business throwing them. So where he's Sosiris Toysoi, then fine, then at least you have that. He has a legitimate reason to throw stones. But again, according to Toysoi, it doesn't make a difference. And either way, in that case, he'd be Potter because it's a garbage heap where people are not regularly expected to be found. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov had said that if after he threw the stone, the other person moved his head and his head came there, then the first person who threw the stone would be Potter. So the Gemara says, Tananah, but why is that? Tananah, we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, Umotza, the Pasuk says that it finds, Umotza, as for Ehu, it finds his friend, Vameis, and he dies. So Umotza, Praklamamsias Atma, as opposed to as opposed to a case where he makes himself found, where now he puts his head in the way of the stone. Now, obviously, we're not talking about he knew the stone is flying in his direction, but nevertheless, still mamsi atzmoi, he came to the place after the stone was thrown. Mikan omer Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, based on this, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says what he says in the Mishnah, imish yotza even miyodei, if it was after the person let go of the stone and threw it, hoitzi alos roisha v'kibla, the other person stuck his head out of a window and then got the stone, smacking his head, Potter, then the one who threw it would be Potter from Golos because at the time when he threw it, there was no head there. Well, the Gemara says, Lememra de Motza Me'ikra Mashma. So you're telling me that the word Motza implies that he was there already. And therefore, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is saying that Motza means not Mamsi Asasmai. The problem with that is a Ramini, I have a contradiction from that from a completely different area of Halacha. You have the concept of the Torah tells us in Parshas Behar of Sde Achuza. A person is poor and he sells his field, his ancestral field that he inherited from his ancestors in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk says his relative, his Goyal, should come and buy that field back. We have the end of Megillas Ruos is based on that whole concept that Boaz tells the other fellow, the potential Goyal, that there are fields that Naomi and Ruth inherited from their husbands and they had to sell them because they're poor, and now as a goyel, it's your responsibility to buy them back and keep them in the family, and also part of the deal is that you have to marry Ruth, and the other guy turns it down, and Boaz marries Ruth, and everything develops from there. So then the Pasuk describes, what if he doesn't have a goyel? What if he doesn't have a relative who's able to buy it back? So then the Pasuk says, Umotza kadegul of isiga yodeh, if he manages to earn money, Umotza kadegul os, and he manages to find enough to redeem his field. Then he himself goes and buys it back, and the Pasuk describes how you prorate it because it was going to return to him in Yovel anyhow. So you figure out how many years are left until Yovel, and you calculate the redemption price appropriately. So Brisa says umotza prat lamotzui. On the contrary, the word umotza over there means as opposed to motzui, that a person can't. That a person, in order for him to be able to force the other person to sell him back the field, it has to be that this is new money that he has now, not money that he had before. So if he had money that he had stored away, and now he wants to come and buy back the field with it, the other guy would have the right to refuse. So we see over there that umotza means on the contrary, that it's something new in his possession. Why over here are we saying umotza or eruv ameis means that it's something where the other person was there already, and that means shalayimka berachak v'yigav v'karev. So Braitha says that means that he's not allowed to, for example, sell a further away property to use the money to redeem a closer one. So say, for example, he had fields further away from the city and another one closer to the city. He had had to sell the one closer. Now he thinks to himself, you know what, why did I do that? The one closer to the city is more convenient. Let me sell the one further away, and I'll use the money to buy back the closer one. The other person can refuse to sell him back to him, because he can tell him, that's not umotza, that's not new money that you found. Similarly, Berav, the Yigobu Yafa, similarly, he might want to sell a bad field and use the money to buy back a good field. So the point is that we don't say that. And we see over there that umotza means that he already had it, that he didn't have it yet. How are we saying that over here umotza means that the person's head was already there? The answer is Amar Rava, Hocham in Yonah Dekra, V'Hosam in Yonah Dekra. In each case, you have to look at the context of the pasuk to determine what umotza means. Hocham in Yonah Dekra, In the case of the field, then you have like this. It goes in context of the pasuk. The pasuk says the siga yadei that he earns money umatza. So therefore umatza jumi devi siga yadei. So the umatza has to be similar to the siga yadei. The siga yadei means he earns money. He's able to afford it. So therefore some mahi siga yadei mahashta. When it says he can afford it, means that now it means that he has money that he didn't have before. And we know that because before that he was poor. Ki yomu chachicha. The whole reason he sold before was because he was poor. So therefore, he's siga yada means now he's able to afford it. So therefore, so mehashta, that means now, af matza nami mehashta. The same way the matza of that same positive has to mean right now he's able to where before he wasn't. Here in our case of the golos is also, we have to look at the context of the pasuk. Umotza drumya diyar, where the context is talking about where they went into a forest together. My yar midi de isim ikra, the forest was already there before they went into it. Af umotza nami midi de isim ikra, the same way it would have to be that the umotza also was something that existed before, so therefore, if it didn't exist before, if the person didn't have his head sticking out there before, and now he threw the stone, and now the other person's head came out of the window, then therefore it's not like the yar, and therefore he would be potter. I suppose a little bit of a Purim Torah, you could ask, you know, you have the story with Elisha and the bears, that in Melachim, the Gemara talks about at the end of Sota, where you have where the children, young men are making fun of Elisha, and Elisha realizes they have no Torah, mice and Torahim, so he curses them, and then two bears come out of the forest and eat a bunch of them, and the Gemara mentions, there's an opinion, Lo Dubim, Lo Yar, there were no bears there before and no forest, and all of it was created there miraculously all of a sudden at that moment. So now, what if there were also people in that forest chopping wood, if there were also people there chopping wood, would you say that now the forest has come into existence now, whereas it's not like an Ogamara over here, maybe the halacha would be different.
Yes, you're all over for that.
Yes, well, I'm sure, yeah. Okay. The Mishnah says, "Azurda kase evan v'chola." Person throws a stone, and then the Mishnah had gone on to quote Abishol's statement that since the pasuk says "lachtav etzim," so we learn from that that just like chativas etzim, just like chopping wood, is a reshus. The same way it has to be that the job that he was doing was a reshus, as opposed to it was a divine mitzvah. For example, we said in the Mishnah, a father hitting his child and he accidentally kills him, then he wouldn't go into golos because he has a mitzvah under certain circumstances to hit him. Nowadays things may be different. It's not necessarily does that apply, but at least in the times of the Gemara, it was an accepted thing. But, yeah. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Ahumin Abonim LeRava." One of the Chachamim asks Rava, "Mimai Demachatovas Etzim DeRoshus?" Fine, but Abishol is learning from the fact that he says that chopping wood is always a Roshus. But how do we know that we're talking about chopping wood of the kind which is a Roshus? Duma Mechatovas Etzim DeSukkah, Mechatovas Etzim DeMarocha. Maybe we're talking about, after all, you can have a person chops wood to build a sukkah, a person chops wood to use for the wood that's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. And still the pasuk is saying that he kills somebody accidentally and he's chayav golos. So in other words, maybe Abishol shouldn't be able to learn from that we're talking about only when it's a dvar harashus. So Rava answers him, yes, it's true that in that case there would be a mitzvah to chop wood, but not necessarily. Given the matzah chotuv, if he found wood that was already chopped, he would not chop new wood. There would be no mitzvah. The mitzvah is not the chopping wood itself. The mitzvah is just that there should be wood available for this purpose. Marashar takes out the words enichoitim because it's not really necessary. You must have to lav mitzvah. Then there's no mitzvah to chop wood. The mitzvah is not the chopping wood. The mitzvah is that there should be wood available for the purpose. So hashtanami, lav mitzvah, the same way over here, even if he doesn't find wood chopped yet, nevertheless, we can't call it a mitzvah to chop wood. The mitzvah is that there should be wood available. The usual way of getting that would be by chopping wood, but it's not like the chopping itself is a mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah.
So we started the Mishnah like two hours
left. Yeah, and now we're down over here. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eisfe Ravina L'Rava. So Ravina asks Rava, but what about in our Mishnah we said, Yosa Ava Makas B'nai, that we have as opposed to a father who hits his son, V'arava Roida Tamidai, and a Rebbe who hits his Talmud, or Shliach Beistin, and Shliach Beistin, according to the various possibilities we talked about before, what it means with the Shliach Beistin, in terms of whether it was that he was giving Malkus, or whether he was giving extra Malkus, or whether he was trying to get the person to come to Beistin, or whatever, according to all the possibilities that we said before. Now, Lema, why don't we say the same thing? To kiven de ilu gomer, for example, let's say with a case with the Rebbe and the Talmud, kiven de ilu gomer lav mitzvah, given that if the child was learning in the first place, there would be no mitzvah to hit him, hash the nami lav mitzvah, then say also now it's not a mitzvah. The point is, the mitzvah is that he should that to teach him Torah. The hitting is only meant as a way of making that happen. But if you could have made it happen a different way, there would be no mitzvah in it. The same way as if you had wood available for your sukkah, there would be no mitzvah to chop new wood. So then we see that it's not a matter of whether it would have been done or not. It sounds like we're talking about something which doesn't matter. The fact that it was the divine mitzvah itself makes him potter. Well, in that case, then in the case, so again, why is Abba Shol learning from the fact that it's Rishus, where by the same token you could have where you didn't have wood for your sukkah, and there is you have wood for your sukkah, therefore you need to chop, but your child's not learning, and therefore you need to hit him, but it's the same kind of thing. Either way, it's not necessary that it had to happen that way. It could have been different, and yet the Mishnah is contrasting them.
Contrasting means
that there's a difference between them. So the answer is Hossam. The answer is Ravina says at Hossam Afagab de Gomer. No, sometimes even if the child is learning properly, mitzvah, then sometimes there can be a mitzvah for the father to hit him. Meaning, in other words, that
learning.
Well, so in other words, to get him used to the idea. So one explanation is to get him used to the idea that there needs to be musa, there needs to be
fear.
No, yeah, basically that there needs to be fear. Yeah. Another way of understanding it is that basically we're talking about that you could have where he wasn't learning that he was learning. Let's say so actually one explanation of Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his Trubas, he says that actually what it means is, let's say for example, previously he didn't learn, now he's learning, but nevertheless there still has to be consequences for the past. So in other words, not just now he's learning, so therefore fine, you know, we're going to let it go. We still have to consider the fact that before there was. So
he was learning, but he was playing at the same time.
Yeah, whatever. So therefore, dichtiv, as the pasuk says, yaseh bincha b'yinichecha, give muster to your son, and he'll put you at ease. He'll make you mind at ease. V'yitin ma'adanim l'nafshecha, and he'll give delicacies and then wonder of nachas for your soul. So in other words, the idea is, because it says v'yinichecha in future tense, v'yitin ma'adanim l'nafshecha. So now, yaseh bincha, even though you may not need it so much, and the result is in the future, yinichecha v'yitin ma'adanim l'nafshecha. So therefore, it's not even something that if he's not doing it, then you need to, there can be that even proactively kind of you need to do it. Now, nowadays, but even a generation or two ago, for example, the Friedrich Rebbe wrote something called Klolei Achinuch VaHadracha, and he discusses that in our times, he's talking already the early 20th century, this isn't an appropriate method of Chinuch anymore. Anyway. So we're not even talking about, like in the case of sukkah, where if you had wood available, you don't chop new wood. No, here even proactively there can be a mitzvah Tosfos points out, what about the shliach beistin? Again, if the person had already gotten malchus, then he's not doing any mitzvah. But still, Tosfos says, the fact is there is a mitzvah to begin with. When it comes to the sukkah, there's no mitzvah to begin with to chop wood, because the wood's not necessarily being chopped for the purpose of the mitzvah. If you found wood available, then already the chopping of it was completely reshus, and now you're using it. As opposed to over here, the fact is that there was a mitzvah to begin with to hit the person in beistin. And on the other hand, if the person had never done the Avera, then he wouldn't be a shliach based in the first place. A Rebbe and a Talmud, you have, he's always his Rebbe. Father and son, he's always his father. As opposed to the shliach based in, it starts off with, yes, the person didn't do an Avera, he didn't become a shliach based in until the person did an Avera, and at that point there's a mitzvah to hit him. So we can learn like that. However, Hoda Omar Rava, but then Rava said afterwards, Lav Milsa Hid Amri, what I said was incorrect. No, it's not so much that there's no mitzvah to chop wood, but there's a different way of understanding what Abba Shol is saying. The Pasuk says, Vashe Yova Yisrael Bayar. The Pasuk says that he went into the forest with the other person. Now, Ma Yar Di Boy Oil Vi Boy Loy Oil. Now, a forest is the kind of place, if you want to go in there, you could go in. If you don't want to, you don't have to go in. And then the Pasuk is saying that's the kind of place where if he kills Beshergig, then he goes to the Orem Miklat. The Sakadadach Mitzvah. Now, if you're going to tell me that it's a mitzvah that we're talking about, chopping wood for a mitzvah, for example, for a sukkah or for the wood pile on the Mizbeach, Misagid Le'ayil, how could it be that he couldn't go in? He would have a mitzvah to go in. So therefore, obviously, we have to be talking about that it's Rishus. Okay, so we don't have to learn it from the fact, in other words, that we're saying that if he had found wood chopped, then he wouldn't need to. It's rather we're talking about that the pasuk is implying that he has the choice whether to go in there and chop the wood or not. Whereas if it's for a dvar mitzvah, he has to go in there and chop. And therefore, Abba Shol is saying, since the pasuk is not referring to that case, then therefore we can learn that where he has to do the mitzvah, namely all these cases that Abba Shol mentioned, then he would be potter. Okay, so the verse says, Omelet of Adaba Avaladova, Kol Hecha Dechtiv Asher Di Boyhu. So you're telling me that any time when it says Asher means that it's optional for him to do, he's saying Asher Yove Esreu by Yael Lachtevetim. What about Elameata? What about a Pesach that says, Ish Asher Yitba Vloyzchata? If a person becomes Tomei and he doesn't get cleansed with Pora Adjuma water, and then he goes into this Mifdish or whatever, then he's Chayv Kores. So what does that mean? Iboy mitame, iboy le mitame. Does that mean that you're talking about always that that if he wants, he could become tomei, and if not, then not? But the mes mitzvah dele sagid le mitame hachinami de potter. Would you tell me by that logic, if you're saying you're learning from the words asher yitma, that you're going to say asher means that he does it voluntarily? So does that mean in a case where it wasn't voluntary, where he had to become tomei for a mes mitzvah, you're going to tell me that if then he goes into the mes mitzvah when he's tomei, he would be potter from kores? Because that would be the flow of the pasuk. Asher, v'ish asher yitma, where you're saying that asher means that he's that asher means he has a choice. The lo yischata, and he's not cleansed with par adamo. Then v'nichasa, then he gets kores, implying. But if he didn't have a choice to become tomei in the first place, namely it was a mes mitzvah, then he'd be potter from kores. And it's not so. A person is chayiv kores for going into the mes mitzvah shamei, however he became tomei in the first place. The answer is shiny hosam. It's different in that case. The omakra, because the pasuk also says tome yia. The pasuk says tome yia. He will be tome mikol makom. Meaning, no matter what, no matter why he became tome in the first place, the fact is he is tome and he has no business now going into the Beis Hamikdash. So from those words, Tomei and Mikol Mokum, then in that case, then it means that no matter whether he became tome voluntarily or not. Tosfos points out that the fact is it would be the using the word asher is perfectly normal in a pasuk. So therefore, so once it says asher, which is a normal style of a pasuk, then it has to be tomei yia. If not for that, it's true. It didn't have to say asher. It didn't have to say yia, and we would still learn the same thing. Okay. So Rav Ada Bar Ava asks him, "Ahomi boiler l'chidatanya? Don't we need those words tomei yia to learn a different din?" Tomei l'chidatanya, what we learn in a brisa, tomei yia, when the pasuk says he will be tomei, l'rabas tvul yoim, that comes to include also tvul yoim. So he had tovel today, but he didn't yet have head of shemesh, and still if he goes into this mikdash, he's still chayiv koris. Tum osei boi, and when the pasuk what?
Chayiv koris?
Yeah, we chayiv koris still, yeah. Yeah, because even though he terrible, he still has a degree of tumah until Tzeisak Kachavim, and therefore at that point, if he goes into the Beis Mikdash during that time, he's still chayiv koris, yeah. And when it says tum, and the pasuk says tumah yia oid tum osei voi, he is tumah, his tumah is still in him. So tum osei voi, the rabbis mechusa kipurim, the words tum osei voi come to include the case of mechusa kipurim. You have several different categories of tumahim, a zav, a yeledes, a couple of others, where they have to bring a korban, and that's the final stage of their tahara. So here also, the person, let's say for example a zav. So while they're completely tomei and have not yet toibled, of course they're chayiv koris if they go into the Beis Mikdash. Then you have even they toibled and they still need head of shemesh. But even after head of shemesh, they're not completely tahor. The next day, this zav has to bring his korban. Until he brings his korban, he's still a mechusa kipurim, and he also can't enter the azara.
Why And he's also
Chayav Kores. That's what we learn that from the words Tumasei Vay. In fact, you have, for example, by the Metzorah, when you have by the Metzorah, who's also an example of a Mechusik Kippurim, you have the Kohen has to apply the blood of his korban and the oil that he brings together with his korban to his ear, thumb, and toe. So you have, how does the Mishnah describes that he stands in Shaar Nikono, he stands in the eastern gate of the Azara, and he sticks his ear in, and the Kohen applies it to his ear, and he sticks his thumb in, and the Kohen applies it to his thumb, and so forth. So we're learning from Tom Yia that Tavul Yom is included. So Rava answers, Anome Oid Tum Ose Kamina. What I'm doing actually is I'm learning from the word Oid. When it says Oid Tum Ose Vay, the word Oid is extra over there. It could have just said Tum Ose Vay. So therefore, this is available for the Derasha to say that we're talking about that regardless whether we became Tomei as a matter of Rishus or as a matter of Choiva, either as such as a Mes Mitzvah, either way, if he goes into the Mes Mitzvah, he's Chayav Kores, because the fact is he is Tomei. Okay. So far we had this whole discussion that we had about it being a Rishus versus a Choiva. We started out with Ahumer Abonan and asked Rava that how do we know that in our Mishnah, when Abba Shol was saying, Machativas Eitzim Rishus, how do we know that necessarily chopping wood is a Rishus? It might be a Choiva, for example, by a Sukkah, and then we went through that whole discussion, how we know that we are talking about Chativas Eitzim that's a Rishus, and how Abba Shol is able to learn from that, that therefore, in a case of a Mitzvah, he's Potter. So now the Gemara says, Ikka de Masni Laha. There are those who learn that whole discussion was actually not in connection with Abba Shol's statement in our Mishnah, but rather with a different concept. The Pasuk says, B'choresh Rakotzu Tishvos. The Pasuk says, six days you should work, on the seventh day you should rest. B'choresh Rakotzu Tishvos, you should rest from plowing and harvesting. Now, what is that? If it's talking about Shabbos, then we know there's 39 melachos of Shabbos, there's no reason to mention specifically Chodesh and Kotzer. So what is that pasuk referring to? Rabbi Akiva Omer. So Rabbi Akiva says it's actually talking about Shmita. Previous psukim, the previous psukim had been talking about Shemitah, Sheshes Shonim Tavod, or whatever the Lashon is over there, that you have Vashvias Tishmiteno and Atashta. So now Rabbi Akiva says a few psukim later, when it says B'chodesh B'chodesh Tishbos, is referring back to Shemitah. It's saying during the Shemitah itself, So in other words, it's saying like this: for 6 years you can plow and plant. In Shemitah, you have to put down your tools and stop doing that. Even during the six previous years, you also have to stop on Shabbos. But it means B'chodesh B'chodesh Tishbos, therefore, is referring to plowing and harvesting during Shemitah. So Rabbi Akiva, in that case, then the pasuk does not need to tell us that you have to stop plowing and planting during Shemitah. Sharei Kvar Nemar, because you have in Parshas Bahar, we're talking about the main dinim of Shemitah. Sod Cholei Sizra, V'cham Cholei Sizma. So what the pasuk means is afilu chodesh shal erev shviyas shenichnas l'shviyas. So it means even plowing during the year before Shemitah, where it's going to come into Shemitah, meaning in other words, you're plowing during the sixth year in order to prepare the land for the next year. And a harvest of Shviyas where the plants grew during Shemitah, and you're going to harvest them during the year after Shemitah, then you still have the dinim of Shviyas in that. So you can't plow in the sixth year for some time before Shviyas to prepare it for Shviyas, and you also can't. If fruit or produce or whatever grew during the sixth year, there are restrictions when you harvest it after Shemitah, you have restrictions on how you can harvest it and how you can use it. So Rabbi Akiva is learning that from the words that it says B'chodesh V'chotzer Tishbos, the flow of the pasuk then is like this: Sheshes Yom Tavod Aviyam Shvi'i Tishbos. You have to work during the 6 days, but you work during the 6 days and you rest on Shabbos. But even that is only during 6 years of the 7 year cycle. In the seventh year, B'chodesh V'chotzer Tishbos, stop working altogether. So the Tva also brings an explanation that wanted to say that Sheshes Yomim means 6 years, and Avayim HaShvi'i Tishbos means rest in the seventh year, but he says that not. The word Yomim is used for a year. The Pasuk does sometimes use the word Yomim for a year, but that's the the pasuk will say it to the pasuk will use the word yomim to mean 1 year, but not multiple years. So you can't say sheishas yomim would be 6 years. So it means 6 days.
Oh.
It means 6 days. So it means 6 days a week you can work. Shabbos you have to rest, but only during the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle. Comes the seventh year, there's no working the land at all, weekday or Shabbos.
So using the pasuk partially for Shabbos and partially for Shemitah.
Well, basically we're using it for Shemitah, and Rabbi Akiva is going on top of the note. Because the pasuk definitely says, Sheish is yom tavad or remashvi tishvos. But then when it says, v'chodesh v'kotzer tishvos, Rabbi Akiva is understanding. It means not just doing Shemitah itself, because there's no chiddush in that. Rather, it means that v'chodesh, the chodesh which would go into Shemitah, or the kotzer which comes out of Shemitah is also Tishvos. You have to rest and you have to do the dinim of Shemitah with that.
Seventh year or sixth?
So that's what we're talking. What we mean is, in other words, so for example, so the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, for example, talks about there's a certain deadline in the sixth year when already you have to stop plowing.
For Tishvos.
Long before Tishvos. So you actually have the Mishnah describes over there for certain kinds of for certain kinds of fields, you have to already stop after Pesach of the sixth year, because already at that point, when you're any plowing that you're doing after that, any plowing that you're doing for those kinds of fields during the spring or summer is going to be to prepare it for next year. And next year you can't plant, so therefore you shouldn't be doing it. So, and then the Gemara discusses elsewhere that that's only Bizman Shem Bismekdash Kayim. When the Bismekdash is destroyed, then the dinim are different. And then in general, you can do most kinds of field work right up until Rosh Hashanah. But anyway, Rabbi Akiva is learning from the words Bechorosh of Akotzer Tishvos that it means that even during the 6 years, and even the 6 days of the week, nevertheless, there are restrictions on your plowing and your harvesting when it's before and after Shemitah, respectively. Rabbi Shmuel learns differently. Rabbi Shmuel learns that, no, we are talking about Shabbos and not Shemitah, but rather, Machorish Rishus, he learns like this, just like plowing is a Rishus, because there's no, because there's no particular time when the Torah tells you to plow, Af Kotzer Rishus, the same way the Kotzer that the Torah is telling you not to do on Shabbos, it's talking about a kotzer, which is strictly a rishus. Yotzek, tzira oimah, shul mitzvah, as opposed to harvesting the oimah, which is a mitzvah. And that you do even on Shabbos. If the second night of Pesach, which is when they harvest the oimah, comes out on Friday night, they still harvest the oimah anyway. So now when Rabbi Shmuel is saying that, that chodesh rishus, that plowing is always a rishus, so now you have the second version of how the discussion went. Again, you had the first version, which went on Abishol and our Mishnah, where Abishol had said that chopping wood is always a rishus, and Ahumen Abanan asked Rava that don't you find cases where chopping wood is a mitzvah. The same way, in the second version, he asked him about that case of Rabbi Shmuel, how are you telling me as a blanket statement that chodesh is always a rishus? So Amalei Ahumen Abanan, the Rava, one of the Chachamim asked the Rava, Mimai Decharish Rishus. How do we know that the plowing is or Dirishus? How do we know that the plowing we're talking about is always a Rishus? Duma Charishus Omer de Mitzvah. Maybe we're talking about plowing a field to bring the Korban Omer, which is a mitzvah. Now, actually, the Rashba points out in one of his Trubas, somebody asked him, you know, it's one thing, for example, chopping wood for your sukkah, fine, you're going to be using it shortly after that. You're going to be using that same wood, so therefore we can say the chopping itself maybe should be considered a mitzvah. But the plowing takes place months before you ever grow the crop. The crop may not even grow, actually. So that being the case, how could you call the Harisha, how could the Gemara even have a Havamina to think that the Harisha should be called a mitzvah where you may not end up getting a crop from it from the Omer in the first place? And he says, because it would all go according to the Kavana. A person intends to do a mitzvah, and then there's an Oinus, Ma'alal of a Kosov, Kiyabasa, then Hashem counts it as though he did it. So therefore, so therefore it would be considered a mitzvah as well. The Aruch HaNer points out a further thing as well. The harvesting has to be on the night of the 16th of Nisan. So if that comes out on Shabbos, you have no choice but to do it then. The Aruch HaNer asks, the plowing, what, fine, you, maybe the Gemara is implying, maybe the Gemara is asking that you could have a plowing, which is a mitzvah, to prepare for the Omer, but why would you have to do it on Shabbos? Do it a different day of the week. So he says that it means fine, but still, what the Gemara is saying is, in other words, that he's doing, the fact is, that you're doing it for the, we don't mean, in other words, that the plowing itself would be a mitzvah, but the point is that it's all part of the mitzvah, which eventually you're going to bring the Korban Omer with it. So therefore we could say maybe the plowing itself is already considered part of the mitzvah. And therefore, so Mimayda Harisha de Rishus. How do we know we're talking about a plowing which is Rishus? Duma Harisha de Mitzvah. Maybe we're talking about a plowing which itself is a mitzvah for the Korban Omer. Va'afili Hochi Omer Achmana Tishvos. And still the Pasuk is telling you rest from it and don't do it on Shabbos. So that would mean, in other words, that Rabbi Shmuel should not be able to learn from that, that harvesting the Omer should be done for Shabbos. So how do you know? Maybe it means that you shouldn't be harvesting the Omer on Shabbos. Tosfos points out he's not really trying to argue that you shouldn't be able to harvest the Omer on Shabbos. He's just saying, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is taking it as a given that Chodesh is always Rishus, but how do you know maybe the Chodesh itself can be counted as a mitzvah? Omale, so Rava answers him like he said before. The difference is, kiven di motza chorush, and in chorush, because again, with the harvesting, you always have a mitzvah to harvest barley for the Omer, even if you have some already harvested, which there shouldn't be, by the way. You're not supposed to harvest any other crops of barley before the Omer is brought. Second day Pesach. That's why we're first Omer beginning then. So, but the difference is with plowing, kiven di motza chorush, ain't a chorush, but if he found the field already plowed, there'd be no mitzvah to plow it again. Lav mitzvah, therefore you can't count it as a mitzvah to plow it. So the plowing is if you had no choice, then you plow it. But as opposed to the ksira, which is always a mitzvah. So the Gemara says Eisrei. So then this Chacham asks the Eisrei Ravina LaRava. So Ravina asks Rava, what about in our Mishnah? We said Yotza Ava Makas B'noi. We talk about a father hitting his son. V'arava Roda Samidah. A teacher who's exercising mastery over a student. Or Shliach Beisdin. And Shliach Beisdin that all of them are potter because they're Oisik B'mitzvah. And again, the question is, why should they be potter? Lema, why don't we say, kiven di ilu gomer, lav mitzvah? Since if the child was learning, there'd be no mitzvah to give him tetch. Hashtanami, lav mitzvah, then therefore it's not a mitzvah also. By the same logic as Rava is saying, again, that the plowing is not necessarily a mitzvah because you could have found an already plowed field and it would already work.
But you're not supposed to find
it. No, you're not supposed to find an already harvested field. You have to harvest for the barley for the sake of the omer. But you can, but plowing, there can be a field that was already plowed even elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no particular, yeah. In fact, the Rashba mentions in that connection, the Mishnah mentions in Menachos that one time they had to bring the Omer from a place called Gagos Tzrifin, which is some distance from Yerushalayim, because all the fields around Yerushalayim had been destroyed. Certainly, whoever plowed the field in Gagos Tzrifin that year had no intention of using it for the Korban Omer, and nevertheless, it still ended up being used for it. Anyway, so the point is, the same way as by the plowing, there's no particular mitzvah to do it. It has to be done, but if it was already found plowed, then you don't have to plow it. The same way, if this child was learning, there would be nothing you have to do. And again, the answer is, Rava answers, like we said on Amar Aleph, Hossam, Afagab de Gomer, now he mitzvah Kovid, even though the child is learning, there's still a mitzvah to give him petch. Dichtiv, as we learn in the Pasuk, Yasid bin Chavi Nechecha, as we said, give Musar to your son and let him give you Nachas. So we see it, otherwise we talk about on Amar Aleph, what the circumstances are with that. So therefore, yes, we can consider that there is a mitzvah to do it regardless. Hodra Omar Rava, but again, like in the first version, Rava afterwards says, Lav Milsi da Amri, what I said was not correct. Rather, we have to say Ksira Dumya de Harisha. The harvesting has to be similar to the plowing. Ma Harisha Motza Chodosh Eni Chodosh. By the plowing, if he finds a field which is already plowed, there's no particular mitzvah to plow. Ksira Nami Motza Kotzer Eni Kotzer. The same way, by the harvesting also, what would it mean that if he finds it already harvested, there'd be no mitzvah to harvest? No, he's not that mitzvah, because no, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about Harisha, which is a mitzvah, the fact is, mitzvah, what do you mean, matzah kotzer and a kotzer? Mitzvah liktzer lahavi. The mitzvah is always to harvest the grain and bring it for the korban omer. So therefore, there is a big difference. So if we're going to say that we're comparing chodesh and kotzer, we have to say that we're comparing them, that they're always reshus. But chodesh, there's never a case where you have to do the Harisha. There can be a case where you have no choice but to do it. But by the kotzer, there's always a mitzvah to do it. No matter how much barley you find may have been harvested before, you still have a mitzvah to harvest new barley for the korban omer. So kotzer is always a mitzvah, and therefore yes, Rabbi Shmuel can learn from that that when chodesh and kotzer are purely reshus, then you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos. But when kotzer is a mitzvah, then you're allowed to, namely the ktzira omer.
And he learns all the other things that his child and
well, he's not addressing that because he's addressing the Korban Oimer. But the point is, in the same way, so Rava is saying it's not really a valid comparison with the Mishnah because we can see that the Pasuk is clearly not talking about a Harisha Shal Mitzvah because there's not necessarily because the the Ksira is always going to be a mitzvah. The Harisha may or may not be, depending on the circumstances.
But the Harisha is like the son learning.
It's like the son learning, and then when he's not learning, then you hit him. But if Rava is saying that now in the Maskone, he's saying, yeah, but on the other hand, if the child is learning, there's no reason to hit him. And the same way, if you find a child, if you find a field that's already plowed, then there's no mitzvah to dab to go and plow a new one for the Korban Oimer. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Ha'ab goyla yidiyad ben, the father can go into golos by killing the son, if he kills his son, b'shogeg. Va'ab ben goyla yidiyad, and vice versa, if a son accidentally kills his father, then he also goes to the Orem Mitzvah. Hakol goylin, and by the way, you would have in those cases, their own brothers or their own sons might be going after them as the goyla dom, which is why they have to run away to the Orem Mitzvah. The Mishnah continues, Hakol goylin yidiyad Yisrael, anybody can be going by killing a yid, by killing a yid b'shogeg, v'yisroh goylan ayudein, and anybody whom a yid kills is also going to go to the Orem Mikvah, chutz v'ger toshav, with the exception of a ger toshav. So if a yid kills a ger toshav b'shogeg, he doesn't. The other way around. If a ger toshav kills a yid b'shogeg, then he's actually executed because the shev metzik nanoyach. There's really generally no such thing as shogeg. So if he kills a fellow ger toshav, then he goes to the Orem Mikvah, but not if he killed a yid. The Ritzvah actually brings up there's different Girsois over here. Chutz mi Ger Toshav means that if a Ger Toshav kills a Yisrael, then he doesn't go into Golos. He mentions there's a potential Girsa, Chutz mi Al Yedei Ger Toshav, meaning that if Yisrael were to kill a Ger Toshav, he wouldn't go into Golos. But no, the Gemara actually says that the Gemara later on says that we are talking about a Ger Toshav who kills a Yid. On the other hand, Rashi does say chutz miger toshav would mean that any Yisrael goylal yodei that Yisrael does not go into golos because of him. And then it says that that's what it means. That Yisrael kills a ger toshav. So it means, in other words, that the Gemara is going to explain later that if a ger toshav kills a yid, he doesn't go into golos. He gets executed. The Gemara is going to point that later out. But Rashi over here is explaining that it also means if a yid kills a ger toshav, he doesn't go into golos. As we'll see in the Gemara. So the Ger Toshav, ain't a Gula, L.I.D. Ger Toshav, a Ger Toshav would go into Golos only because of a Ger Toshav. So only if he kills another Ger Toshav, then he would go into Golos, as opposed to if he kills a Yid, then he himself gets executed. So the Gemara says, "Av goyla yidiyad ben." What do you mean? A father goes into golos because of killing his son? Va'amet yotza av makas b'noi. Didn't you say before that if a father hits his son, then he's potter from golos? So the answer is the gomer. We're talking about where the son is already learning, and therefore there's no reason to. Va'amet afagav the gomer mitzvah kavod. Didn't you say that even if he's learning, then there's still a mitzvah? We said that not necessarily is that. Can we prove from that to the chodesh? But nevertheless, Rava didn't let go of his statement that Yasid bin Chavini Chacha, as it says in the Pasuk, but nevertheless it's still appropriate sometimes to do that proactively or after the fact when before he wasn't learning or whatever. Now Tosfos wonders, wait a minute, I mean it's very simple. The Gemara could answer, yeah, well he's giving him pech to give him Musar. But here, let's say you're talking about that the two of them were together in the forest and he killed him b'shogeg. Why is the Gemara having a Havah Aminah that he shouldn't go into Golos? And the answer is that Tosfos says that the Gemara thinks that it means that no matter what, even if it was a case like that, there'd be no reason to mention a father and a son. So presumably the Mishnah is talking about even where he has a right to hit him, as a father does, to his son, and nevertheless the Mishnah is implying that he still has to go into Golos. So you said he's doing a mitzvah. The answer is b'shulya de nagri. You're not talking about where he's learning Torah. You're talking about, for example, where he's a carpenter's apprentice. He's learning how to be a carpenter. So therefore, there's no particular mitzvah to hit him in order to get him to do the right thing. The reason to mention a carpenter may be, tactile, we talked about before, using an axe and chopping wood, and a case where a piece of wood or the axe head or whatever flies off, so therefore that may be why it's using the example of a carpenter as apprentice.
And the fact that it says, well, the teacher is a panosa.
Ah, so the Gemara asks, isn't that his panosa? That's a way for him to live, and that's also chiyusahu delamde. He's teaching him his livelihood, and that's also considered a mitzvah in itself. And the answer is, because we're talking about the son already has a different umnus, where he could learn that, where he could learn a panosa from that, but now he's also learning how to be a carpenter, so now there's no particular mitzvah to teach him umnus, and now when he's teaching him the umnus of carpentry, and he kills him b'shregeg, then he would still go into golus because of him. Then we said in the Mishnah, a son can go into Golus for killing his father accidentally. So the Gemara says, Rumini. I have a contradiction, though. A Braisa says, Make Nefesh, when the Pasuk describes that a person kills somebody else, Prata Make Oviv, as opposed to when he kills his father, where then he would not go to the Arim Miklat. So, and yet our Mishnah is saying that he does. The answer is Amar Rav Kahana, like Kasha, Har Rav Shimon, Har Rabbanon. Because the Braisa, well, this is versus the Mishnah, are the opinions of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Lirav Shimon de Omar, now we learned over and over in Sanhedrin that we had a machlokas, what is the order of the Mitzvahs based in? Skila, Srefa, Hereg, and Chenek, according to the Chachamim. And according to Rav Shimon, Srefa, Skila, Chenek, and Hereg. So now let's consider, when a person kills his father, when a person hits or kills his father, he would be chayv chenek for that. When a person hits his father and injures him, he'd be chayv chenek for that. When he kills, then he's chayv hereg. So according to Rav Shimon, who says that chenek is more stringent than sayif, so it comes out. So what do we want to do? If he killed his father b'mezid, then he would be getting chenek, because he'd be chayiv, first of all, for wounding his father, and second of all, for ritzeach. And as we learned in Sanhedrin, when a person does one aveda that makes him chayiv two misses, then he gets the more severe one. So therefore, he's going to be getting chenek. Rav Shimon would say, so only the Torah is telling us a person did something b'shoigig where he would have been chayev b'mezid, he would have been chayev sayef for killing, so then if instead he did it b'shoigig, then he gets the kapara of golus. Whereas the shoigig of chenek, there's no such thing as kapara. Therefore, Rav Shimon would say that, like the Braisa, that no, he doesn't go into golus because he actually has to be, he would have been executed, he was b'shoigig, there's no orin miklat for him, instead he has to watch his back. Because he would have been going to chenek, because chenek is more chomer than saif. L'rabbanan da'ami saif chomer mi chenek, the chomer who said that saif is more stringent than chenek. So then, horig over b'shogeg shigra saifu. So then, even if he killed his own father b'shogeg, it would still be a shgaga of something that would have been chayiv saif amazed b'shigra saif nitna l'kapara. And therefore, doing something b'shogeg that gets him hereg does get him sent to the Arim Miklat. So therefore, the Chacham say he can go to the Arim Miklat, which is our Mishnah. So that's one answer. Rabba says no, that's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa is not saying that Prat Lamake Oviv, meaning that if he kills his father, he doesn't go to the Arim Miklat. In fact, everybody would agree, maybe that he does, says Rabba. Prat La'Oisa Chabura Oviv B'Shoigig. Rather, the Braisa means to say, Make doesn't mean killing, it means hitting. If he hits his father B'Shoigig, then he's not going to the Arim Miklat. Now, why do we need to be told that? Sakhla Dachamina, otherwise you would have thought, Kibin him amazed by Ptolu, if he hits his father and wounds him amazed, he'd be Chayef Misa. Chenek, as we said, b'shoigig nami legally, even if he did it b'shoigig, maybe he should have to go to the Orin Miklat. Maybe it's a unique case that, after all, a person hits another yid and wounds him, there's no chiyuv misa, there's just a shlomen. Only by a father or a mother does the Torah say that there's misa. So maybe, therefore, and then we would also say that he would have to go to the Orin Miklat. Maybe, in fact, there would be kapara for that of the Orin Miklat. Kamash Milan, therefore, the Braisa is telling us that no, the whole concept of Golos is only for a person who kills B'Shoigig, not other kinds of Shoigigim, even if it was something where B'Mezid, they would have been Chayiv Misa.
So is that, not to go, not for our parents.
So in other words, if a person kills, so in other words, Rava's saying, if a person kills his parent b'shogeg, then yes, he's going to the Aron Mikvah. But if he wounds them b'shogeg, even though had he wounded them b'mezid, he would have been chayiv mitzvah, but nevertheless, but he, now he did it b'shogeg, there's no golus for that. Golus is specifically for a person who killed b'shogeg, not for a person who does anything else b'shogeg. The Ritva also adds, when we said, according to Shimon, that Chenek is more stringent than Saif, then you can say that maybe the Torah is saying that there's Golus only for Saif. But when here, where the Chachamim are saying that that Chenek is weaker than Saif, you would have thought that maybe there should be a Kapara, if there's a Kapara for Saif, all the more so, maybe there should be a Kapara of Golus for Chenek, which is less severe, and therefore the Gemara is telling us that not so.